swallow my cum and they're gonna get fucking drunk off of swallowing.
And cancer.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 171, 2016, end of the year podcast.
End of the year.
It's been a fast year, right?
It's not too fast.
All right, man. I'm Josiah Sapp for the Villain on Twitter, here with my co-host, my boy.
Ma'am the Beaner.
What up, G? Good to see you 20 minutes later.
Yes, we had a nice day, nice mandate.
Totally.
Lunch. We've had a sick friend that's on a sick bed.
Yeah. Don't look at my car. Don't look at my cat.
You drive to my house, but don't look at my house. Don't look at the steps. Just the back.
And even when you show up, don't give me eye fucking contact. I'm sickies. Yeah, we went to meet up Sergio, which was cool. We went to see where he lives. Nice fucking neighborhood.
I was like, wow.
And he says,
they even have white people cutting his grass.
Just about, dude. So yeah, man, and then we went to Grub, dude, after that, which was fucking cool. So we got to hang out, and then once I dropped you off, got home. Can you come back so
we And I was like, you know what? Let's get this going.
Which I'm fucking totally down with, dude. So fucking good to see you again. All right, man, end of your podcast. How you doing? How was your weekend? How was your Christmas?
Christmas was good. I got sick last week. Right after the show, I got a bad ear infection. Margo told me, go to the doctor's shat app. You don't know what you're talking about. Fucking Saturday comes. It hurts even more.
Earache.
Okay. I felt like I want to pull my tooth out because it hurts so bad. And then I go to the fucking clinic and I get in and out. And I'm like, oh, this is going too well. Like, I got the prescription.
Okay.
I'm going to the pharmacy.
Yep.
It's like not even 9 o'clock yet. Yes. Give him the fucking paper, and the pharmacist looks at me and says, I don't know what the hell this is. And I go, well, it's a prescription. Look at it.
Yeah.
He goes, no, bitch. You look at it. And I'm looking at it, and it looks like her writing looks like a goddamn painting. What? Like, she wrote so bad, it just looked like
blots
of ink. Really? And like you know, like one of those pictures. What do you see?
Oh, the Rorschach test.
So I had to go back. The fax was taking too long. I was in so much pain. What? It's right down the goddamn street.
Yeah, let me go.
Let me go.
I'll be right back.
I go in there. I can't read this. God can't read this. Please fill it out better. So she filled it out better. And I got my shit. So I feel a lot better. Christmas was good. Had it at my sister's house.
Cool.
It was good.
Right on, man.
Well, you? I mean, yeah.
Good. Worked yesterday, Christmas Day, Christmas night. It was a bitch at the fucking second job yesterday, but got through the fucking day, got some cool gifts, did the family thing in the morning during the day. So, good times, dude. I mean, minus working, but time and a half.
Time and a half's always better, but yeah. Sometimes it's like...
Nothing exciting besides that, though, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. You ready? I think we have a lot to go through today.
Sweet.
All right, guys. This is our 2016 end of the year podcast. This is going to be best of the best list of... We have a bunch of topics going. We are going to hit definitely everything we've hit during the year. So we're going to hit some football talk in a bit. We're going to go into what the fuck news, Jesus shit list I think I have.
Sweet.
And sex facts.
Yes.
So we're going to end the show the way we started it up, man. So first of all, you want to know what we spoke about 100 episodes
ago? 100. Jesus.
100 episodes ago. This one was fucking cracking me up, dude. This was episode 71. I'm not going to give you the name of the title yet.
Okay.
We hit Twitter love and shoutouts. We put on our synopsis, stalling episode.
Stalling.
Now, if you could think of anything we could stall about, what would it be? Well, there's a lot of topics we've used to stall. It could be
football stalling, especially at this time of the year.
Yes, especially crunch time.
Crunch time. Stalling on movie. I don't know. TV. Okay. Not TV, because you don't watch TV.
We hit what the fuck news. We hit major U.S. cities with the highest murder rates. We hit comic news, Deadpool casting, Suicide Squad casting, and New Dark Knight comic.
Okay.
We also hit comic reviews, Secret Six number one, a Legendary Star-Lord number six, Wolf Moon number one, and Grayson number five. But we named this episode, this must have been the stalling one, Hashtag Midget Lover.
Oh my. Dude, this is a funny one. You guys got to go back. I'm not just saying that. This is Joe.
Yes.
I
had an...
experience
with the midget, the lesbian midget, and it was funny. It was great, and it's funny because reading that, I'm like, holy shit! Like, the first 25 minutes was talking about midget
talk. Midget talk.
And sex and fucking a midget. So I thought it was hilarious. And after that episode, I know we got hit up by a lot of our listeners like, holy shit, I can't believe you
fucking said that. Go back and listen to this, guys.
Yeah, episode 71, guys. So that was 2 years ago. All right, first of all, Instagram messages now. End of the year, we have Lenny McLinn says, as usual, great show you guys gave us. Talking about last week's 170 episode. Thanks, guys. She says, Adam, what is your dad having treatments for? I hope all is well. Merry Christmas, dudes.
He's having treatments on his prostate.
Prostate, okay. Which
right. is he's above, at the, age. Above the balls, I guess. Mm. He's taking it well. It doesn't have to do chemo. They caught it really, really quick. So he just has to go every single day and they shoot him some rays. Yeah. Some.
He's holding up well, though. He's in good spirits. You told me a great joke.
The great joke my dad tells every, not even nurses, anybody wearing a coat. He goes, where do you guys get your radiation? Punchline?
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl? And then he waits for it. What the fuck is Chernobyl? What's
your bro? I know, right? Your dad's hilarious. And he's like my dad. He keeps recycling the same jokes.
Same jokes.
Oh, yeah. I love it, dude. next one's going to be What Happened? This is Lupa Roscoe. She says, What happened? No link share for episode 170. I get back to her like, I don't know what
you're link talking share?
About. Yeah, I don't know
what everything's
she's talking
up.
Well, for last week's episode.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, we always put our links up. But she continues. She says, Star Wars baby, here's my 2 cents on it. Oh, I have to agree that Cassian's role was the best character in the movie. Jin, on the other hand, I didn't care for her role, even though they tried to make her a leading role in the movie. She didn't carry the movie in the story like Rey did in The Force Awakens. Agreed. I'll admit, I teared up during the end battle, especially when Chirrut and the other Asian man were fighting. That I totally agree with. Interesting how people react differently. A girl row behind me was full-blown crying. I couldn't believe it. After she just cried herself. I love that this movie brought the whole Star Wars stories full circle end to beginning. I can't wait for the next movie to see how the creators tie it all in. Thanks for the birthday shout-out. Another year under the belt for Comic Syndicate.
How about how they tie it in? It goes ties in right into the fourth.
That's what she's talking about.
Oh, okay. How it all ties the movie into was great.
I liked it a lot.
And the whole movie was about her. So, if you didn't like her, how can you like the movie? It was all based on her.
It's a bunch of people that rebel.
It was a great movie. Man. She did a great job.
All right, man. Let's hit.
Should be in the next movie.
Right. Yeah. After they're all dead. Okay, man. Let's hit football talk, man. We had some great fucking football talk grubbing right now, dude. At Red Robin. All right. Last week's games were all on Saturday, dude. I caught the morning games. I caught the Niners, the end of the Niners, Rams, and the Derek Carr getting hurt.
Oh, Raiders.
Raiders versus... who the fuck did they play?
They played...
right in front of my face. I don't know, right? Why can't I? Oh, the Colts.
The Colts.
Okay, that ended a game 25-33. Those are the only two games I saw on Saturday.
Raiders are done.
Their whole season, you guys are fucked now.
So a lot of stabbings that night.
Oh, yeah, definitely, dude. Those were the only games I saw. The Giants-Eagles on Thursday Night Football was a good game. Eagles smashed up on the Giants.
Really?
In a divisional
game,
dude.
That's good.
Yeah, it was 24-19. And then the only game I saw yesterday on Christmas Day was my boys gave me a huge Christmas present. The Steelers 31
over
the
God.
Ravens 27. Such a great game, Adam.
That last play was...
Antonio fucking...
That last touchdown. That was crazy. I'd never seen that. Right?
And he just barely stayed on his feet. Three guys on him. And he looked back. He knew how much time or space he needed, and he just reached back out. Could have lost the ball.
He could have lost. He had to do it, though.
He had to do it.
Wow. It was... I saw it. I'm like, are they gonna count that? Yes, he did. He broke the plane. His whole fucking hand is crossed.
Once you cross the plane, you guys, it is a score as long as your knee elbow doesn't hit the ground.
Crazy.
Loved it, dude. So now we're in the playoffs. We clinched our playoff spot. Your boys have clinched their playoff spot.
We have a bye
week one. We have Raiders are in.
Raiders are in. I think they get the
bye. It depends on what happens with the Kansas City game this week. And this is our last week. Fuck,
Adam. It might be you and Dolphins
for the first round. I'm totally down with that, dude. Yeah.
First round.
I would love that, dude. They beat us, granted, early on in the season, but I think we're ready to gun for them, dude.
Fuck, man. I love Steelers, but I don't want to play against them, so I'm going to have to go for Dolphins when we do our picks.
Yeah. You'd rather play the Dolphins.
I would rather play the Dolphins, me and Albert.
Yeah?
Dolphining it up.
I'm dolphining it up. High five. All right, man. It's our last week of regular season football, dude. I'm going to miss it already, dude. It flies by, man. Week 17, let's do it. All the games are going to be Sunday. No more Thursday or Monday Night Football.
Fuck, man. That sucks.
Speaking of, dude, here you go. Are you going to Dolphin it up? First game on Sunday morning is going to be Patriots at the Dolphins.
Oh, Patriots. Sweet.
Oh, actually, okay. Before we even jump in, dude, you won 8 games last week.
Yes.
I won 9 games. Sergio won 9 games.
What the fuck? I thought it was up, but when we're eating... You're like, yeah, I lost everything. And I'm like, oh, that must mean I won everything.
I know. I looked at the numbers, dude. And you won the last game, the Colts, last week, Monday, when we were recording. So you have an extra point, technically. But this week's wins, 141 apiece. Sergio, you, and myself. So I'm going to go off the wall and just might go for an upset or 2.
You're going to go for a Brown?
No.
Touchdown?
Did anybody see that coming?
No, nobody saw that coming. No.
Okay, so Patriots at Dolphins.
Patriots.
Okay. You guys have the division clinched already.
Oh, we might not even have everybody in.
And a first round bye. Dolphins still have someone to play for. Oh, wild card?
They still need to win. I mean, they don't have to
win.
I'm going to put my secondary
okay,
Patriots.
Let's talk about that real quick. Now, a lot of teams have clinched. Dallas has clinched.
Yes.
You guys have clinched. Those teams in particular, you're going to bench your fucking starters, right?
I don't know if Cowboys are going to do it.
They have to.
Belichick is not going to
put Romo in too. We were talking about.
Yes, we were talking about. He needs a little bit more activity.
Yeah, he hasn't been playing all season. If anything, God willing, happens to Dak Prescott, you need to know your backup quarterback is ready to go.
Yes,
I would say toss in Romo.
I think that would be a smart move. But
do you think Belichick's going to do that?
Belichick will. Maybe Brady will play the first quarter.
Okay,
and that because then he'll have 2 weeks off without playing.
Now, on top of that, though, back to this one. Let's say that happens. Okay. Let's say the Dolphins run up the score and win the game. Do you guys can afford to lose?
Yes.
You're still going Patriots?
I'm still going to go Patriots because I think I'll take my secondary over their first squad. Any day.
Fuck, that sucks, dick, dude.
Wait, we're tied at 141.
We're all tied.
Okay,
dude.
All right. Let me rephrase. Dolphins.
Are you going Dolphins? Because I was thinking about going Dolphins. Fuck. Dude. It's last week, homie.
Fuck. Can we go back to that game?
I almost want to, dude. I'm going to go... You're right. I would take your fucking fourth string against fucking Dolphins.
Got your popcorn. Get that guy. Get him in.
I'm going Dolphins.
God damn it.
You guys can afford to lose?
We won't lose. Okay. I'm going Pats.
I like it, dude. Next one's going to be Jaguars at the Colts.
Oh.
Jaguars won their third or fourth game, too.
Colts suck.
I'm going to go Jags. Colts, I'm sorry.
I'm going Jags.
Okay. All right.
They both suck.
Next one's going to be Panthers at Buccaneers. I'm going to go Buccaneers, Bucks. Dude. All right. Well, sweet. Finally, the first one. Next one's going to be Bears at the Vikings. Another two teams that suck.
Vikings. Bears is terrible.
I will sweep with you. Next one's going to be... Browns. The mighty Browns won their first game.
Yes.
At the Steelers.
I have to go Steelers.
All right, we'll sweep that, dude. My boys, dude. Next one's going to be an interesting game. Saints at the Falcons. I'm going to go Falcons straight up. All right, sweeping that. Next one's going to be the Bills at the Jets.
Ugh. Bills.
I'm going to go Bills.
Jets are just terrible, dude.
Next one should be a great game, dude. Cowboys, divisional game at the Eagles.
Cowboys are not. I don't. You know what? I think they're gonna put. I think they're not gonna even bench him. The owner is such an asshole.
Jerry Jones.
He wants.
I'm gonna go Cowboys.
He wants that win. I'm gonna go Cowboys.
Okay, we'll switch that. I kind of back you up on that. Yeah. Next one's gonna be the Packers at the Lions, and the Lions are playing tonight against the Dallas Cowboys.
They need to win
to get in. We were discussing that.
And Green Bay needs to win.
Yes.
So
Packers are playing like pretty light, so I'm gonna go Packers.
You can't go against Rodgers when he needs to win,
especially playoff. Yeah, I agree. Next one's gonna be the Texans at the Titans. I'm gonna go Texans on that one.
Yeah, me too.
All right, we'll sweep that one. Next one's gonna be the Giants at the Redskins. I don't want to see it, dude, but Giants are playing good ball. That defense.
They are, and I don't want to see Giants in the playoffs. So they already clinched, so I'm gonna go Giants.
You're going Giants. Okay, I almost want to go Redskins. Okay, next one's going to be the Ravens at the Bengals. My divisional game. Ravens. Yeah, we'll sweep that. Next one's going to be the Chiefs at the Chargers. Sweep.
Jesus
Christ. Chiefs it is. Next one's going to be, okay, wow. Before, I would have said, let's Raider Nation up in here. This is going to be a divisional game. Raiders already have their division clinched.
Yes.
Against the Broncos.
The way Broncos played in Kansas just spanked them.
Kansas City is a good team then.
I'm still going to go Raiders. Wow. I'm really curious to see this guy's arm.
The new kid.
Whatever the fuck his name is.
I don't even know who the fuck their third string is.
He played maybe 5 minutes of the last game and he looked horrible.
Yeah.
So I'm still going to go Raiders.
Okay, I'm going to Broncos it up, dude.
Oh.
Next one's going to be the Seahawks at the 49ers. Undefeated. Oh, wait. They won their second game. I'm going to go Seahawks, man.
Yeah, Seahawks.
All right, we'll sweep that. And the last game for the night is going to be... Actually, not even, dude. 125 is going to be the last game.
125.
They're going to be over early, dude. I think one of the games got flexed, though, to the evening. Anyways, well... Next, going to be Cardinals at the Rams.
Cardinals. All right, Rams sweet, suck.
All right, man. Not bad, dude. Well, again, week 17, we love it. I'm going to miss it, Adam. I think I miss it.
Yeah, already. I already miss it.
All right, dude. All right, let's hit some... Okay, here's our beginning of our end of the year pod. So top 10 list, and we're going to run over your list and my list real quick. First of all, just to get into the mood of things, I want to give you a list of the top 10 TV shows that have been voted on for the year.
Okay.
And let me know if you're watching any of these. Number 10, Love on Netflix.
No, Love?
Yeah. No. I hear it's a good show. Haven't seen it.
I have not.
Number 9 is going to be Speechless on ABC.
Not watching it.
Never seen or heard of it. Number 8, I have seen a few throughout the year, Veep on HBO.
Veep?
Veep is fucking hilarious. It's really? You and I talking as bad as we are. It's written like that. Like, fuck this, she's a fucking hoe, fuck her, she's a skank. Yeah, but it's all political.
I'm going to have to check it out, okay.
It's Tina Fey, it's all political about, like, the vice president and the president and running for shit. Next one's going to be number 7, Better Call Saul on AMC, I'm sorry. I saw Breaking Bad, never saw Better Call Saul.
I saw the first season, I liked it, cool. I did not watch the second season.
Okay. Number 6 is going to be OJ, Made in America on ESPN.
I heard that was really good, I didn't see it.
I hear it was good too. Next one's going to be number 5, Atlanta on FX. I hear that's a great show. Number 4 is going to be Late Night with Seth Meyers on NBC.
What the fuck?
I don't like Seth Meyers.
No.
I like fucking Jimmy Kimmel a lot.
Jimmy Kimmel's funny as fuck.
Number 3 is going to be The Americans on FX. I've been wanting to jump on that.
The Americans?
Yeah, I believe it's the covert fucking Russian couple that moves to America and they have to... They're like double agents.
Oh, okay. I have not seen it.
Yeah, here it's good. Next one's going to be number 2, The Girlfriend Experience on Starz.
No, I haven't seen any of these.
It's pretty much, I guess, breakdown of that would be call girls that... Don't fuck you, but have the baby daddy or the sugar daddy.
Oh, the sugar daddy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I never seen
so
that.
So pretty much prostitute fucking horse.
Okay.
Number 1, The People versus O.J. Simpson on American Crime Story, FX. So that's probably the one we were thinking about.
Oh.
So apparently there were two O.J. Movies.
One was really good out of, like, everyone loves.
The one with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes.
It was great.
Is that the Netflix one? Probably.
That one is,
probably.
No, the one on FX is the one.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Right, OJ, man, he's getting some time.
Yeah. Okay, let's hit. You ready to go over your top 5 villains? I tossed it out to you last week.
The movie villains or the...
Anywhere.
Okay,
yeah, I'll follow
you. I got top 3.
Do you
want to
go 5-5, you and me back and forth?
I got 3.
Okay, then you give all your 3 and then I'll go mine.
Well, we'll do movie titles.
Okay, do it.
Movie villains. It. So my third one was Clarence Bobrick.
Okay.
From RoboCop.
Idiot. Is that Red?
What do you mean?
Is that a fucking from, what's the name of the show? The 70s show, The Dad?
Yes. Dumbass.
He literally blows him up and his crew piece by piece. Wow, that's a good one.
That's a good one, right?
That's a great one.
I saw it, I'm like, this guy was a bad motherfucker.
He was, yeah.
There goes your arm. There goes your leg.
He puts his hand up. No, please don't shoot. Dosh, there goes your fingers. Yeah.
My second was Count Olaf from Lemonade Snicket, a series of unfortunate events. And that's been acted by Jim Carrey.
Really? I've heard of the movie.
He plays a really good bad guy in that movie.
Really?
Kind of weird at the end. He kind of wants to marry the younger girl.
Okay,
like,
that's kind of
13,
weird.
Just to get the money.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and my first one...
Sounds like a fucked up villain.
...is Detective... Alonzo Harris
mm.
from go training for it. Fucking Training Day. I love that fucking movie.
Holy shit, those are good, dude.
I love that. Was dude, he's a bad motherfucker in that movie.
Okay, I wasn't expecting you to get that creative on this.
See that?
I like it. I did my homework. Okay, mine, I went funny, kind of.
Okay.
But they're true good fucking
bad guys. Okay.
First one for me, number five, is going to be Ivan Drago.
Drago?
Yes, Rocky.
Oh, I break you.
I will break you.
He dies, he dies.
I must break you. And that's exactly what I wrote down. If he dies, he dies. This guy was such a badass that he would kill you in the ring. Like, literally, like, just with his kill you.
Punches to the face.
Dead. That next one's going to be Joker. Heath Ledger's yes. from The Dark Knight. Just yes. wanted to cause some good old-fashioned anarchy, and who the fuck doesn't like Arnicky now?
Yes.
Why so serious?
That was the. I mean, it's a hard... I don't know if they're going to ever get a Joker.
Oh, that great.
Because the Suicide Squad, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it, dude.
Really?
Suicide Squad, no.
Jesus.
Next one's going to be number three, Patrick Bateman for me from American Psycho.
Oh.
He's such a badass killer that he listens to audio of himself while fucking broads.
Or he's with the mirror...
Yeah,
where he's pointing and then he bites the girls. That was a very
good villain, right?
Good villain.
Okay, number two is gonna be Darth Vader.
Yeah, you gotta
okay. Now this one, my explanation is the turnover, death rate, revolving door for a promotion on the Death Star is so fucking high. But it would suck to have him be your fucking boss.
Right.
You have failed me for the last time.
I mean,
you are in charge. Ah, oh, fuck, sir. I don't wanna be in charge. Like, you know.
You. That's it. Next.
The guy fucking sweeping. You are now in charge. Holy shit, this is my first day on the job. I'm in charge all of a sudden. And everyone's dying. All these new promotions, they die in like 5 minutes.
5 minutes. I mean, it's just the turnaround on this guy's employment is bad. Oh,
Dunskis, dude. And my number one villain of all time for 2016, Johnny from The Karate Kid.
Oh, shit.
Now, this guy. He's from the Cobra Kai dojo, dude. He kicks a stranger's ass for talking to his ex-girl at the beach. That's opening fucking and of the movie. And
fucks him up.
Kicks his ass, dude. Not only that, dude. He gets his friends to also fuck with this fucking kid that he doesn't even know. And then while this kid is happy with a huge smile on his face riding his bike home one day after school, Johnny on fucking motorbikes with his dirt bikes with his fucking crew. And poor fucking Daniel LaRusso's pedaling his fucking ass off, scared his shit.
Life.
And all you hear is vroom, vroom. And they run him off a fucking hill. All these kids are in fucking high school, dude.
Well, what's his kryptonite? A fucking 6-year-old man, a 7-year-old man.
Okay, true that. No, I'm still not done with Johnny yet, dude. Jesus. So on top of that, dude. Now, they run him off a fucking hill.
Right.
Could have fucking killed him. Poor fucking kid. And then on top of that, dude, he takes a big tumble more than fucking the Princess Bride scene where he's just tumbling. And then just for good measure, Johnny decides to beat the shit out of him one more time for fucking up his joint as he's rolling it during the day.
There in the bathroom scene.
He deserved to get his ass kicked. So for that, Johnny from Cobra Kai Dojo, you are my number one movie villain.
There's a funny story. When I worked at the daycare, younger guy, put on a movie. Oh, watch the fucking Karate Kid. I go, yeah, whatever. It's
Karate Kid's good.
Not a good bad movie. But that fucking scene came up where he's on the toilet and he's doing a joint. I'm like, wait a minute.
You, question, what do you have? What is he rolling?
What is that? Is that a cigarette? Jesus Christ.
I totally forgot.
Where did turn it off? I forgot that was even in that movie.
Yeah. Then he deserved to get his ass kicked for it.
You know what? Danny LaRugo, he did some stupid shit. Like, you know, you stick away from these guys.
He was just one of those kids where you just wanted to punch in the face.
And he got punched a lot.
Fucked up. So again, Johnny, you're my boy, dude. All right, man.
Very cool.
Top five comic villains, then we'll go into our what the fuck.
You know, I got the top three that they're just badass. And my third one, he's not really, he could be a villain, he could be an anti-villain. And you know, he wears red, he wears a helmet.
I was thinking that.
He fucking makes things out of metal. Magneto.
Good, love it.
He's a very powerful mutant. Dr. Doom.
Love it, dude.
Number two, and then number one would have to be Thanos. And we'll go into a review later in the show of his comic.
Yeah.
He's when you see him in the movie or you see him on pages, he just walks with this like, what the fuck?
I mean, like this swagger, dude.
He fucking kills. Evil, like he kills anybody. He doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. Yeah. And you fuck with me, you're dead. You're dead,
yeah. Love
it,
dude.
And it's just like, wow.
All right,
very cool.
All right, mine is going to be, I'm going to start off with honorable mentions for me, Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, he's good.
Venom, Two-Face, Green Goblin, Dr. Octopus for me, and Apocalypse.
Apocalypse?
Now, number five. Which Magneto
destroyed.
Yes, love it. Number five for me is going to be Lex Luthor. Oh. He just wants to take out and kill the Boy Scout. How can you not like him?
And he has money.
There you go. And he's a smart.
Smart
genius.
See, a lot of people don't know that about him, too. Yeah. He's a fucking mastermind.
Yep. Number four is going to be for me. And so we hit the same list, dude. Dr. Doom. Yes. Another super genius, super villain, ruler of his own land that is okayed by the United Nations. Like, okay, we'll give you your own land. To fucking...
And he's such a good character where, like, the confidence that he just speaks.
Cocky, arrogant, too.
Pointing himself in the third person works. I'm Doom.
Yes.
A Doom does not
run. Does not approve of this.
I do not
run. Love it, dude. Number three for me, the Joker. Psychotic, insane clown prince of crime.
Which Joker would you like the best? Would you like Snyder's Joker?
I do like Snyder's Joker, too. Number two for me. Interesting. Thanos.
Thanos. Who the fuck's your number one?
This is the bastard son. Six gems and a boot up your ass. So hence the Infinity
Gauntlet. Here you go, Mom.
Yeah, dude. We'll talk about that. Number one villain, Magneto.
Oh.
Survivor of the Holocaust. Wants the people... That think they're being that the people that think people are different should be put in their fucking place.
Wow!
So just because you're different, because you're a mutant, because you have your abilities, you shouldn't look down on other fucking people. And he went through the Holocaust. He went through it with fucking Hitler and fucking the concentration camps. So he has a right to fucking rip asshole.
He does, right? I mean, if anyone has a can see prejudice, can see it. This guy's family's died.
Oh yeah,
and just for being. Different.
Yeah. That's
pretty cool. Color hair. And
we've spoken about it before where the mutants, X-Men, were created to combat racism.
Yes.
So Magneto is kind of the embodiment, granted, villain.
This isn't going to happen again, fuckers.
Yep. I've went through it one time. This is not going. I love it, dude. Perfect. Okay, that's all I got for that, man.
Very cool. All
right, now we're going to hit some what the fuck news, dude. Let's hit it real quick.
We're going to do our other list when we come back.
On Comic Talk, guys.
So if you're interested more on comics.
Yes, we have more lists for you guys coming up, dude. First one's going to be what the fuck news, dude. Entrepreneurial woman sells positive pregnancy tests on Craigslist to pay for college.
What the fuck?
Okay, off of that already, it is what the fuck, but she belongs on Jesus shit list for me.
So, like...
go for questions, I mean, I love it. Go.
She should just sell the stick and say, here, give it to your boyfriend, or to scare him to commit suicide?
That's exactly what it is. Now, fuck the article. Who the fuck would do this?
Oh, fuck!
Anyone in their right fucking mind. Like, she says, I don't care what you do with the test, however much she sells it for, though. Women do buy it. I wonder
if she's making money.
It didn't give the actually, no, it does. I saw the other woman and their experiences that it's very easy, she said, explaining that she makes $200 in a day off something I have to do no matter what.
Wow. Our female listeners, would you sell this if you had a...
First of all, sell.
Sell as a... Now, would you buy it for a bad joke or for getting back at your ex? Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know.
And how fucking twisted are those fucking broads that are fucking buying it too?
That's crazy.
And if a chick fucking, first of all, told me, just kid, oh, fuck you, dude.
Dude.
Thanos.
Gotcha. Okay.
Magneto up in this bitch. Not cool.
Couple punches to the stomach?
No, I didn't. I was thinking more of Magneto ripping out Wolverine's bones out of his body. You know, fucked up, right?
Wow.
Granted, I get she wants to make money, and she can make a quick buck or two off of it. But, I mean, if you're going to whore yourself out, go to Amazon.com, go to thecomicsyndicate.com, and just jump on the Amazon banner.
Yeah.
And, you know, buy from there.
Do we know anybody pregnant we can get this?
I don't know.
Get this going? We can
probably put one up. I know, right?
Interesting.
All right, so we killed that quick, dude. Next one's going to be, here's a list of facts about sex that you probably didn't know. Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay.
Okay, sex is a life
checkered finish line is the ticker tape at the end of the marathon, the finish flag at the end of a Mario level, and the bell to sound the conclusion of a boxing match. You go to work, you earn your money, you do your sit-ups, and you try to eat healthy in the hope that the universe will reward you with sex. However, despite our continuous pursuit of it, there is still a lot of things we don't know about sex. The following sex facts we've listed here are perhaps amongst those things. First one's going to be, if you're the kind of selfish gentleman who wishes to give his partner an orgasm first, and it says in parentheses, and if so, congratulations, you reside within the 7% of men who value the well-being of their significant other's genitalia more than your own. Go for
it. That's not fair, though. That's not fair, because guys get off faster, and if you're doing something wrong, you have to start all over again with the women. You got to start over. It's just like, I think that's, I don't know.
Kind of a catch-22, kind of, right. But
if you're really good, I guess.
This is me, dude. Like, I was reading, I'm like, holy shit, that's kind of fucking me. Like, I'm 7% of men who value, I go down on a woman, make her come first, and then, we're going to have fun. Probably make her come a few times is the goal.
Okay, all right. But so get her off first, and then bust, and then happy ending.
Yeah.
Happy night.
Yeah, and I can probably get her to orgasm at least 2 to 3.
You ever gave it up like this isn't gonna going like, down like you've got off and she's not getting off?
You know what? Very rare.
Very rare.
Very rare.
You're just like I
think
it's been 45 minutes
lately
in.
Sadly is weird. I've been able to get the girl off more times a night than, and I don't come at all.
Interesting.
I don't know. It's not me having a lot of shit on my mind.
It probably is.
I know it's probably like if I drink too much I can last longer, but I think it's now to the point where it's like, oh, fuck, I'm hard, but I just can't come.
So what do you say?
It's not you, baby.
Or do you fake it?
It's me. It's little Josias here. He's not, you know.
You faked it before.
But yeah, condoms is the only way you can fake it,
really. Right, right.
Okay. Then you might want to set out your stopwatch for 20 minutes as the average time women reach sexual satisfaction. No wonder so many complain of their partners never helping them reach it, as the average time until male orgasms is 8 to 12 minutes.
So it's 8 to 12 for men, and then 20 minutes
for a woman.
Yeah, it does, because you gotta get the water running.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. You know. Next one's gonna be, you've likely heard this before, but have disregarded it as some false knowledge first spouted by a man who really wanted his girlfriend to give him a blowjob, convincing her that she should do so because he'd, quote-unquote, be eating a lot of strawberries lately, and therefore his sperm tasted like a milkshake. Weirdly, it's completely true.
That does not... Does it?
A man's diet does change the taste of his semen, for better or for worse. Eating fruit and vegetables will make the semen taste better, while drinking alcohol, that's me, caffeine...
Whiskey dick.
Or smoking, which is all me, all makes it taste worse. All three are polluting.
You need to be considered here, bro.
I know.
All right, you did that's all those checks. Dude. It just tastes like... I don't know what the fuck. I don't know.
It probably tastes like fucking whiskey. So they swallow my cum and they're going to get fucking drunk off of swallowing.
And cancer.
Cancer, dude. Next one's going to be, who would have thought it? Dragging yourself out of your 1920s mindset and helping your significant other with ironing, etc., will likely lead to you having more sex. As a study from the University of California shows. Go for it.
So ironing, like, what do you mean? Like,
I guess it means helping out around the house.
Oh, I can see laundry, that. I can see that. Ironing. Because you fucking fold the clothes.
Yes.
And like, oh, thank you so much.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Thank you. thank you. Pointing down.
The results of the study indicate that men who helped their partners with chores had 50% more sex. There you go. As opposed to the men who believe that only humans in ownership of a vagina should know how to operate a vacuum cleaner. Wow, the writer of this article. Next one's going to be, according to the British Medical Journal, that was actually pretty good, people who have more orgasms will live longer and presumably happier lives.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're happy. You're
I mean,
coming.
If you're coming, in your case, four times a week you liked it?
Yeah.
I'm more of a
once a
twice
week.
Twice.
A month.
Friday, Saturday night type thing.
Okay.
You know?
You're sex
drive. And I'm always happy. Wait a minute. Next one's
going to be, studies have also shown that men who aren't getting any suffer from shrinkage. This one I didn't know.
Ooh.
However, the studies don't indicate whether or not we have to have sex tonight, otherwise my dick will get smaller. Is an effective chat-up line. Okay, that's what that means.
Wow. Is that true, though?
I don't know. This is
not getting the blood or stretching it out? Or?
Pretty much, yeah. You're not using, like, when you're working out.
So it says when you're not orgasming, so you're not watching You're not watching videos. True. So you're not jerking off.
It might just mean in general. In general. So I mean, I guess if you're jerking off, at least you're working it.
Right. So it still shouldn't shrink.
Yeah. So I'm perfect then.
Okay.
Next one's gonna be, according to studies, the biggest sexual fantasy for both men and women is engaging in a threesome, with 20% of women and 30% of men wanting to try it out. However, this is likely because threesomes are the most socially acceptable sexual fantasy. No one's going to tell some stranger on the weekend that they like to have their testes crushed by a tall Russian woman dressed in leather. Or
I'll break you.
Exactly. I will break you. Okay.
Do you, I mean, I don't...
Well, I want to have a threesome still.
I don't want to.
Another chick?
Another chick, no. Or dude. Or, I mean, I don't know. I just... That's not my...
I wouldn't mind four chicks and myself.
Four? Okay. All right.
That's a good fucking little...
Dude.
Five some.
Well, you got two hands, you got dick, and you got a mouth.
I have threesomes all the time, then. This one's going to be, both men and women think about sex the most when they're at work. This is probably due to their minds wandering due to boredom. Then it is due to all this, those spreadsheets.
Well, not in my line of work.
No, not for you. Next one's going to be, the most common sex spot aside from the car or from the bed is the car. Have you ever had sex in a car? That was probably a dumb question.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun.
When was the last time you had sex in a car?
In a car?
Yeah.
Dude, years. It's not as comfortable as for big guys.
No, it can be fun. Sometimes you just have to fucking rock it.
I mean, I finger girls in a car.
Yeah, true.
I mean, but not, you know, it's harder to...
Next one's going to be, last one's going to be, some women can reach orgasm using their nipples alone.
Ooh, that would be cool.
1% of women can reach orgasm just by having their nipples played with.
1%?
No. Though the intensity of this orgasm differs from vaginal orgasm. However, considering the sensitivity of the female nipple, it's advisable that unless you encounter this magical 1%, you don't spend too much time on them. Also, you'll probably look like a bit weird if you do. So anyways.
When are you going to go downstairs?
Yeah, right?
Right?
I like giving love to every body part.
How would that be weird, though, if she could only come if you only play?
I don't know. Again, 1%, first of all, is a huge...
We have any female listeners in that 1%.
That can get off, yeah, just with percent of playing with nipples. But I've noticed that when I'm going down on a chick, like, I've noticed them play with their nipples while...
Yes, I've noticed that, too.
And even when I'm going down on them, I'll still reach up for the tips and play with their nipples, too. So, I mean, yeah. But as far as a girl I've never met, granted, 1%.
I've never.
But that 1% that has told me I really can get off.
She probably belongs in the circus or something.
All right, man. That's all I got for What the Fuck News for now, man. Go for it. Eat a commercial.
Commercials. Go to our website. Even though Christmas is over, there's still plenty of stuff to buy for people that you forgot on your list.
Ooh.
New relationships, so on. Go on our website, thecomiccity.com. You'll find two banners, one orange, one black. If you're buying anything, click the orange one. It'll take you to Amazon perfectly. And whenever you buy, we get a little piece to help us out, keep the lights on. We appreciate the people this whole entire year that have helped us.
Yes, you guys
Thank
are
you
awesome.
So much.
Thank you so much, yes.
And then the black logo is a
Amazon Prime.
You get free movies, you get free books, music, whatever you like, and you get free 2-day shipping, which everyone gets it for. So why pay more for shipping when you can get it free?
Yeah, guys. All right, you guys can go to thecomicsyndicate.com. Just jump on the banner. You guys can go to thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com, thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com/mobile. Jump in iTunes, Stitcher, subscribe to the Comic Syndicate podcast. And you can like us on Facebook, just Comic Syndicate. Plain and simple in there.
Sweet, sweet.
All right, we'll be right back with fucking a bunch of more comic talk for you guys.
All righty. Comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Okay, we're back.
Comic talk. All right,
end
man.
Of the year.
End of the year podcast, baby.
Fuck.
All right, man. You ready to go over some fucking list?
Yes.
All right, man. To start things off, first of all, I have to ask you, Any movies? Two questions. Two separate questions. Same topic. Any movies you went to the movie theater to in 2016 that stood out to you that were great movies?
All right. So I'll do three.
Go for it.
I got, obviously Rogue One was a real movie for me. I loved
7 out of 10. Yes.
That's a 9.5 out of 10 for me. Okay. And then, Doctor Strange was good. I really like World of Warcraft, the movie. A lot of people didn't like it.
Okay.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was good.
Okay. Granted, I work at a movie theater and I get movies for free, but I don't take advantage of it. Apparently, I think I did. I saw Finding Dory 3 this year, which was great. I saw Doctor Strange, which is great. I saw 10 Cloverfield Lane, which was a great movie. I saw The Shallows, which was a great fucking movie, dude. It's a chick who... It's like a Jaws movie.
She's stuck on that rock. Yeah,
it's
okay. Dope.
It's a really good movie. I saw Central Intelligence, which was not a good movie. The Rock brings it. I saw Captain Fantastic, which was good. I saw The Accountant, which was really good. Mm-hmm. I saw Arrival, which was really good. Allied, which was good. Captain America Civil War.
Oh, it was great. That should be on my list, too.
That's up there. And then Star Wars Rogue One. Out of all those, my favorite movie with a close number
two. Let me guess. Captain America.
Yeah.
Number one?
That was number one.
Number one. Okay, all right.
Sweet. With the close number two, 10 Cloverfield Lane was really good.
Really?
Doctor Strange was at number three for me.
Nice.
Yeah, so those were my top movies. Like, I did get out, you know, even though I don't have a life. And then this year, you brought it up on the break. Any movies, I guess, Christmas movie?
Yeah, the Christmas movie that you would, like, oh, you know, it's Christmas time. Gotta watch this fucking movie. Because we watch it every goddamn year. I got three are like my go-tos is the one with National
Lampoon's
Christmas.
Oh,
God. Me. That movie's still
it's number one. Still for me. Funny. Up there. Yes, yes. So good.
What other movie? I like Wonderful Life.
Great movie.
Great movie. Do you like color or black and white? Have you seen the colored one?
Black and white.
I like the black and white too, dude. It's a fucking 5-hour movie.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, beautiful movie.
It's a great movie. And then the other one would be Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Awesome, man. For me, same movies. Fucking Home Alone would be up there for me.
Home Alone's still good.
Right?
We're fucking old and...
And it's still fucking...
You know what I've been saying a lot? Merry Christmas.
You filthy animal.
I've been saying that a lot, dude.
Love it. And then for me, the last one, probably one of my favorites, I consider it a Christmas movie, but it's probably more Thanksgiving-ish, is Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. John Candy and fucking Steve Martin. They don't go on a road trip, but like...
Is it a camping trip? Not a camping... No, oh, okay.
It's just a movie where it's fucked up. Two strangers, complete opposites of the spectrum, meet and they're like companions. Okay. Like, all right, well, fuck, dude. I gotta get here. You want to share a fucking bus ride, or do you want to split this? And everything ends up in shit.
It's shit.
It's beautiful. It's
John Candy.
It's you and me if we were going on a road trip.
Who's John Candy?
Me. And then the last thing I want to add, dude, is movies. I don't watch TV anymore. Right. So this year I saw a few movies on TV that I have never seen in my life before. And there's two in particular that were fucking just dope, and I want to talk about those real quick. I saw October Sky. October Sky is an old movie, I guess, from the early 90s. Jake Gyllenhaal, one of his first movies.
Nice.
And it's pretty much some kid sees or witnesses one of the first space rockets in the 80s, I guess, fucking goes off, and there was a malfunction and the ship exploded. So he ends up finding a piece of this rocket ship. And off of this fascination, he wants to learn how to build a rocket ship. Now, he comes from a small mining town. And he wants to study to become, become a fucking, you know, rocket scientist. And his dad just shits on him. Nope, you're going to work the mines just like I did, just like my grandpa did. And it's a fucked up movie. It's a true story. So this kid gets his friends, like, involved in it too, like, dude, I really like this shit, like, this is fucking dope.
I think I've seen this movie.
I really want to build a rocket ship, and a bunch of misfit fucking kids. So it's our fucking fantasy football league. A bunch of degenerate assholes, and it's like, well, I know how to weld, we can build this, we can do this. And then on top of that, they learn how, like, their teacher realizes, like, shit, you guys aren't just jerking around, like, I can get you guys the books if you guys want to study how to do this. They enter a science contest, and the whole town ends up rallying behind them. Even the dad that says, fuck you, kid. Like,
right.
You're going to go back and do my job. And it's like, he sees the notoriety they're getting, and he ends up, they all went up, went scholarships to go to a great college to learn how to become fucking astrophysicists.
True story.
True story, dude.
Wow.
And it was beautiful, and it was sad, and it was fucked up. On top of that, there's another movie I've seen, Disney movie, never seen it before. Beginning of the year was Good Dinosaur.
Oh, that's a good movie, that's dude. That's a fucking movie, sad movie. Dude.
Holy shit. Okay, I might be getting old. That movie hurt me.
Yeah, it was sad.
Like, it was sad, dude. And I'm like, I'm poor watching kid. It by myself.
Poor kid dinosaur, man.
I know. Dude, I was watching it by myself, and I'm like, it choked me up. And I'm
the
like,
kids, we watched it. That all Go on Netflix, it. And yeah. The kids fucking watch that movie all the time.
It's man. A great movie. So if you guys have never seen it, dude, it's a great movie. The little boy in the movie is dope. The dinosaur is dope. And the shit, yeah, it's funny, dude. It's cool. It's a great movie. It's a sad movie. It's a heartbreaker, but yeah. So that's all I got, man. You ready to hit some fucking
yeah, dude, year,
man, go for it.
So we're gonna do our top events of the year.
We're gonna start off with events. Go for it.
So my top, I'll go three. Rebirth was a good event. I mean,
what number did you put it?
Number three. So I'm gonna go three. Okay. I'm gonna go 3-1 in all my all my stuff. So we go Rebirth. And then we got Civil War with Bendis, and I'm going to have to go number one with Secret Wars with Hickman. I know we're going to have a lot of same stuff, but that's okay.
I think we're going to rank them differently.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Okay, but for this one, event of the year, Rebirth is number three. Actually, number four is Rebirth for me.
Okay.
Transformers All Hail Optimus is number three.
Ooh, I think Transformers would be number one for you, bro.
Number two is Civil War 2. Still going.
Still going.
And then number one event of the year is Secret Wars. Yeah, Jonathan Hickman. So Assad Ribic drawing it. Was
the main story we're talking about, Secret Wars.
Yes. Main story, dude. Love it, dude. Okay, go for it. Most consistent book of the year.
For me, three would be, I love this book, Outcast by Kirkman.
Yeah.
Number three. Number two would be Batman Tom King. I like it.
Okay.
I enjoy it. And Amazing Spider-Man Dan Slott. I mean, he's on and off, but I still fucking read this. This is one of the first books I read every time it comes out. It's one of my first. I have to read it. I mean, Dan Slott is, a lot of people who don't like him, the stories are being remade over and over again. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the art. I like it. It's good stuff.
Okay, for me, most consistent book of the year. Wow. Number five for me would have to be Daredevil. Charles Soule and Ron Garnett.
Oh, that's good.
It's number five for me. Number four would have to be
Dead Air.
I know. These ones are always tough, dude. I would go number four would have to be Transformers More Than Meets the Eye.
So, listeners, there's two different books that come out. They have More Than Meets the Eye, Transformers, and they have their what's the other one called?
Autobots in Disguise. There's a bunch of them.
They go back and forth.
So number five, Daredevil. Number four would be Transformers More Than Meets the Eye. Mm-hmm. John Barber writes that one. Number three would have to be, fuck me, dude, Invincible Iron Man, Brian Michael Bendis.
Oof.
Writing that one.
You know, he started off hot with Dr. Doom in there.
Yeah.
So it's still a good book.
Okay, number two would have to be for me, Sheriff of Babylon. Tom King.
And a lot of people love this book.
It's really good. And it's back.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, you told me.
And number one would have to be, most consistent book of the year for me would have to be Vision by Tom King.
Damn.
And Gabriel Hernandez, Walter, and Jody Beller. That would be the most consistent. And issue to issue, it never let up.
Yeah, that should have been in my top three, too. That was a really good series.
Best new comic of the year, if you have any.
Best new comic. Starting from number three, we got I Like Rebirth Wonder Woman. By Greg Rucka.
That's a good one, dude.
I like so with the Wonder Woman, how it works is it's a bi-weekly, but you get two different stories. So one, three, all the odd are one story, and then two, and then the evens are another. So I like
story.
I like the odd ones. So one, three, five, seven.
You're right. Yeah.
Very good art. Let's see. The next one would be Batman Tom King. And my number one would have been Vision, Tom King. Tom King really killed it this year.
Yeah, he did, dude.
Yeah, like...
He did.
Jesus.
Interesting, dude. Okay, best new comic of the year. Tom King, like you said, is killing it for me. For this is the only list. I'll go number four, even though it's been canceled. Best new comic of the year was really good. Started off good.
A-Force was really good, dude. I'm the only one fucking reading. That's why I got
canceled.
Kelly Thompson and G. Jill Wilson, George Molina, and Laura Martin were working on that. That's number four, but we'll scratch that off. Number three would have to be Best New Comic of the Year for me, Champions. Humberto Ramos and Mark Waid.
Only with three, it's really fucking good.
Dope, right? It's like... It has potential. A lot of great potential. Yeah. Number two for me, Best New Comic of the Year. This one was hard for me because it's Tom King versus himself again. So now, Best New Comic of the Year. Vision is a number two for me because when we interviewed him, he even told us it's a self-contained 12, 13 issue arc. That's all I'm going to write for it. If it was ongoing, it would have been up there, but Tom King still wins because Sheriff of Babylon is still... Best New Comic of the Year for me.
Wow.
So, that's number one. He still fights himself out. Anyways. Next one's going to be Most Underrated Book of the Year, man.
For me, number three would be Vision, Tom King.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two would be I Like All New Wolverine by Tom Taylor.
Yeah.
And number one, Silk, Robbie Thompson. I like Silk, too. That's a good comic.
Okay.
Oh. No one fucking talks about Silk.
That's true. That's
true. And no one talks about fucking... All new. A lot of people are talking about Vision, though, so
yeah.
Maybe they, you know.
Most underrated book of the year. I can probably take off Vision, but most underrated book of the year, Sheriff of Babylon, people are talking about it because how
now great they're talking it is. About.
Vision, a lot of people are talking about it, yeah. too, especially now that Tom King is writing Batman now.
Yeah.
People are like, let me find his old fucking stuff he was written, which is still great. Most underrated would be number... Three would be Teen Titans, Benjamin Percy and Coy Pham right now. Damian Wayne.
Oh, yeah. The guy got off the car.
Yeah.
But it's an underrated comic.
Yeah. It's an underrated title. No one's talking about that one. So my other two were Sheriff of Babylon, everyone's talking about now. It's not even underrated anymore. Vision is not underrated. I'll tell you straight up, my number one most underrated comic of the year... Transformers, all Transformers fucking titles are
all Transformers
are under fucking rated.
Any title, no one talks about it.
Yeah,
it's sad
at all. It's really bad. Anyways, that's all I got for underrated. Read some Transformers, guys.
We got next Arc of the Year.
Arc of the Year, go for it.
So let's see. I mean, I only got two on this one. Old Man Logan, Jeff Lemire.
Oh fuck, that's good.
When Logan takes the very beginning, when he takes out characters thinking that it's from his old world.
Very cool.
So that arc. I think it was like 1 through 5. The first trade was awesome. He was just fucking people up until he got to like Captain America. Like, no, bitch.
Yeah.
This is not going to work. It's not going to go down all the way.
Yeah, true.
And the first one is All-Star Batman right now. Two-Face. That arc, it's not over yet, but that arc is fucking badass.
Yeah.
I mean, with Snyder, it's tough to do arcs because he takes 5 years.
To do
one arc.
Yeah, one arc.
So,
oh, shit, dude.
That's my top two.
Which one was that one, dude?
Which that was the arc of the year
for Batman,
All Star.
Okay, I finally only have two topics for arc of the year.
You have two.
All Star Batman would be fucking number two.
Number two. Oh, what's number one?
Number one is arc of the year Transformers: The Dying of the Light. Oh, I'll fucking it's gonna good. Be a top five for book of the year, and I'll go into that.
Very cool.
All right, next one we have dual artist of the year, dual artist writer of the year.
Did we do a shitty book?
Oh, let's.
I only that. Have one.
Go for it.
That would be Rebirth Harley Quinn number one. So she's made for this topic.
Yeah,
she's made. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
the book is stupid.
Mm.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
And I think it's offensive. I don't know where. I just feel like it's offensive.
Wow.
I don't like it.
Let me put that one at number two. This is number two. Okay, here's my three shitty books of the year then.
Okay.
I love Swamp Thing.
Oh, I should have put that one down too.
Swamp Thing number one by Len Wein and Kelly Jones.
So
a very disappointing telling of yet another zombie story.
Stupid.
It was bad. It was terrible. It was we love Swamp Thing. We love the obscure people characters that nobody fucking talks about. I mean, Animal Man 1 year one for me.
52 new.
Yeah, 52. New 52.
It was.
And that nobody was talking about.
Sad.
These are the ones that people should stop buying if anything's going to get canceled. Number two would be, Rebirth Harley Quinn.
Ugh.
Terrible title. And the shittiest book on top of the year, Harley Quinn beats Harley Quinn on this one. Because Harley Quinn Valentine's Day special number one.
was fucking
so stupid.
I had to stop reading it after fucking two pages in.
Oh, I love it Harley Quinn. It was
bad, dude. So if you guys like Harley Quinn, you guys can eat me.
Yes. Now we got the duo
of the year. There we go. Year. Now a better topic, dude.
Artist and writer, duo of the year. My third one would be Extraordinary X-Men, and that's going to be Jeff Lemire and Roberto Ramos.
Yeah? Yeah, I don't know.
Great team. East of West. Jonathan Hickton and Nick
Dragota.
Yes,
dope.
Artist, beautiful. Even though Hector, you said his art's normal. I disagree. He told me I let him borrow East of West.
He's
like, the art's okay. I'm like, what? Did you not read the first issue? That was like the colors, the fucking.
And his art got so much better.
Yeah. The first one would be right now, Civil War, Brian, Mark Bennis, and David Marquez.
Yeah. Wow, so, those are good.
Beautiful art. Civil War right now is just, Marvel knows it's its flagship, and they put their best guys on it.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. I will go number five. Transformers, All Hail Optimus, John Barber, Andrew Griffith, John Bertram. East of West used to be you.
It's like number one last year, wasn't it?
It hit number four
for me. Oh, that's good though, man. That means more people are coming up.
East of West, Jonathan Hickman, Nick Jurgoda.
Right.
Number three would have to be Charles Soule with Ron Garney. I really like that dark,
yes,
noir-looking vibe. That darker, grittier. It just gave me grittier. Number two, just because it felt like so much like real life, Sheriff of Babylon. Tom King and Mitch Gerard.
Mitch Gerard, man, or boy.
Yes. Okay, we'll talk about that after we're done with these ones. Actually, after I get through my list. Okay. Sheriff of Babylon, Tom King, Mitch Gerard's, because it's based in a war-torn fucking... Fuck, dude. They're fucking...
Fucking racing, bro. That's why we get down in Garden Grove.
Yeah, fuck my bad. So yeah, just the real life gritty, and it's more military-based. And fucking different factions of... Fallujah to Crit, and fucking what these military cats are going through out there. Very beautiful. Very harsh. Very gritty as fuck.
Is that a superhero movie?
It's not. It's not superhero whatsoever.
So do you find it more like...
Grounded,
more talking, or more like Remender. He goes through a lot of fucking explaining, you know, what the scene is.
I think this is more more relatable to people. I mean, granted, I've never been in the military. I have nothing but respect for our military, and I've had family and friend members that have gone are in the military and that do serve. And the stories they tell me is kind of like these.
Could we say that the artist? What he told us that...
Yeah, we'll talk about
that. We'll talk about it later? Okay.
We'll talk about that right now after this one.
Okay.
And number one for me, Tom King fights himself again. Vision.
Oh, yeah.
Tom King, Gabriel Hernandez, Walta. The way Gabriel Hernandez, Walta draws it is a different style. It's like, it's comic book, but it's like, not like, it's gritty. It's dark.
It reminds me of Magneto.
And that's the same writer, or artist.
Okay, well then, that's why.
Yeah, and he's that artist. And
it Jordan works. Beller.
With the story.
Yeah. You get used to it. Like when I read Magneto, and then it just worked.
Because the story is so dark, it's like you need some dark art to go with it. And a lot of people at first impression would look at it and be like,
yes. Yeah. First impression, like, what the fuck?
This is crap. But if you read it, it's like, holy shit. It just blends together. Okay, well, before we jump into the next topic, two questions. What was the first, or what was your favorite comic convention we hit this year?
I would have to be WonderCon.
Okay, good. That was my number.
It had to be because it was so...
Smoke San Diego Comic Con, in my opinion.
We were so involved.
Mm-hmm.
And DC was so nice enough to...
Hook us up
and get involved with top writers.
Everyone.
Artists. This is not just like, you know, hey, I got this comic book, you know, I'm making it, it's been 5 years. No, these are like...
Yes, top tier.
Tier talent. Ones.
So and on I top loved of that, it. Okay. I'm glad you went there, because that's my number one convention. We covered, who is your favorite, only one, what's your favorite interview we nailed this year?
It would have to be Tom King and, I forgot his first
Mitch
name. Mitch Darrow.
Okay.
And it was hilarious, because I actually got a little bit talked, I mean, I don't really like talking to these guys, but it was, they felt so, how do you say?
They were comfortable with us right off the bat.
And
we were comfortable with them.
With just busting balls.
And we were recording the conversation beforehand, too. Like, we have probably 3 to 4 minutes before we start the real interview.
Yes.
And you're right. And okay, granted, we got Marv Wolfman, who created Nightwing. We finally got Scott Snyder this year. We got Brian Michael Bendis this year.
We did.
We got so many good
big names
this year, and we've been wanting Scott Snyder for the longest time. And granted, talking to Scott Snyder, like, and he remembers me and like the stories.
Oh, you kidnapped his kid.
Okay, besides that, like, so dope. But Mitch Gerrits and Tom King were my favorite interview of the year because, again, it sounded like we were a bunch of friends having a beer. Just catching up. Just
busting balls.
We were busting balls. And they were busting ours. It was fucking cool. And we were busting Mitch. Poor Mitch, dude.
Lives in misery, right? Or Missouri?
Yeah, I'm Missouri. But yeah, okay. So, okay, I'm glad you hit that. Okay, next one, dude, is going to be...
Cover.
Yeah.
The year?
Yeah, cover of the year, man. What you got?
Wonder Woman number 3. Go. The artist is... last name's Sharp. First name's
Liam Sharp.
Liam Sharp. This guy's art is fucking beautiful.
He's pretty dope, dude, yeah.
Second one would be Vision number 7. And this is the cover with Vision laying down, and it's with Scarlet Witch's hair like a rose.
That's a good one.
And the artist is Mike Del Mundo.
Del Mundo, yeah.
It's fucking beautiful.
Okay, I like that, Adam.
Beautiful. And the number one with Daredevil, number one, boy, with Ron...
Run Garnet.
And it's just the red, the black, and the white.
And it looks noir, just the way he looks.
He's standing, he looks kind of like Batman, but not Batman. Like, no, that's a fucking DD on his chest.
Yeah.
In red. It's badass.
Okay. Number 5 for me for cover of the year would have to be Extraordinary X-Men number 7. Humberto Ramos with Edgar Delgado. This one is the cover of Nightcrawler freaked out with tears, like scraping on a door.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy. It just looks sad. Number 4 for me would have to be Transformers number 49. Sarah Petrie-Dircher and Josh Perez and Josh Bertram are the colorists and inker. Galvatron, carrying an American flag in one hand and a spear with Optimus's head on the other hand.
Oh, man. I bet you that was one of the covers for our episodes.
I'm pretty
sure it was.
Yeah. Number 3 would have to be Robin War. Number 2, Part 6, Leonard Kirk, Paul Neary, and Scott Hanna. It's a Court of Owls are attacking from the left, while the We Are Robin kids attacking from the right.
Oh, nice.
Like, holding their ground. Loved it. Number 2 for me would have to be Batman number 39, Greg Capullo.
Which one's this one?
It's the one where Joker's sitting on a fucking throne of dead bodies.
Oh.
With, like, a bottle of wine. Like, just like...
But where is he?
We'll talk about
okay.
that. Okay. And number 1 would have to be Greg Capullo, Batman number 37, with a picture of Joker with his new face holding his fucking face, his sad face.
Sad face.
Which is...
Picture in your screensaver.
Yeah. So, very dope, dude. That's number 1, Greg Capullo, man. Well, fuck it. Let's hit it, man. We are Book of the Year now, right?
Books of the Year. Number 3 for me would be Champions number 2.
Good. Okay, great. I liked it.
It just...
Almost made it by the end of the year, barely deadline.
It's just
flew in there. A
really fun book.
Yeah, it is.
It's really fun. It's nothing too serious. Nothing you have to read 800 times to get it, like East of West. It's just
sadly a
great book. Second would be Deadly Class number 21, and that is the end of that season, that semester.
Yes,
where Marcus spoilers. Is impaled with by a sword that with a woman he loves.
And the climax of that. Yeah, the story the whole thing was really good. It was
really good.
Yeah.
And number 1, Civil War number 4 was the book of the year for me. It was the one with Iron Man's talking to the Illuminati, you know, we need to stop this. It's just everything in that book was just was emotional. It was like, damn, you know, he's like at odds. I can't do this. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
We have to do something. So that book was the book of the year for me.
Awesome. Okay. My books of the year, dude. Number 5 for me is going to be Secret Wars. Number 9, Jonathan Hickman, Assad Ribic, and E.B. Scorsina. It's finally Doom versus Reed in a showdown for the future of the Marvel U. The art was great. So much shit happened. So much battle scenes. Black Panther with the Infinity Gauntlet fighting Doom. And then Doom one-on-one fighting Reed Richards was great, dude. The Thor's coming down fighting battles. The things that the thing does was fucking dope. Dude.
Everything just came
perfect.
Perfect.
It was beautiful. It was a nice contained story. Number four for me, Vision number four, Tom King and Gabriel Hernandez's Walter, Jordi Belair is the anchor. Virginia gets called out on and blackmailed on, and she gets confronted by her neighbor, where it's like, I know what you guys are. You guys need to get out of here.
Right.
But no, we're a family. We're living here. I said get out. He tries to shoot at her. She turns intangible. And her son was walking, or the neighbor's son was walking down the stairs at the time. And when he tries to shoot at Virginia, she turns intangible, bullet goes right through her, he kills his own son.
Own son.
It was a fucked up fucking title, right. Dude. Very sad. Book of the year. Very lovely. Very beautiful. Number three would have to be, for me, where did you go? There we go. Perfect. I'll go East of West, number 25. John Hickman and Nick Dragotta. Frank Martin is the inker. Death finally catches up with his son, Beast.
Oh, Babylon. Yes.
Next one's going to be number two for me. Would have to be. Okay. I have to talk about this real quick. Transformers More Than Meets the Eye, number 54, was the top one of books of the week or year for me. Megatron going back to his own self, to his old self, to help out his crew. So he had became a pacifist by this point, helping out the Autobots. And shit finally hit the fan where his crew, his boys, tell him, like, Megatron, we need you to fight right now. No, I've forsaken fighting. I can't fight anymore. I don't want to fight anymore. But we're going to die. Well, yeah. Well, then that's our time. Like, what do you want me to do? We need the old Megatron back. This one hit home to me reading it because I was in a bad place a long time ago where everyone always gave me a hard time for, like, you're such a dick all the time. You're such an asshole. And then I literally took a year off. Get away. I moved away for a year up north and I kind of needed to find my peace of mind. So to find that peace of mind and to get back home, everything's fucking cool for a bit, and then shit hits the fan, and then once shit hits the fan, the first person they go to is like, hey, Josias, we need you to be a dick right now, because shit's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And telling people, my family, my friends, like, dude, you guys wanted me away because you didn't like that Josias, that person I was, and now you're asking me to become the old person I don't want to go back into anymore.
That's
what Megatron has to go through. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. But this one was beautiful, so this is what he does. He goes out, and they tell him, the Autobots that are his friends now, dude, all the Energon we were giving you, it's a placebo. Nothing was helping you. We just told you it was helping you. You changed to a better fucking person, a better Transformer because you wanted to do it on your own, not because of something we were giving you. He's like, fuck it, where's my cannon? Let's go. Puts on his fucking cannon, goes outside, and everyone's outside already. Battlefield has already started. Megatron walks out, dude, and he's like, finds Rodimus Prime. Rodimus, I want you to grab everyone that's injured right now. Get them the first ones off the battlefield right now. As soon as you're done with that, get your boys, get them the fuck out of here. Cool. You're right behind us, no? He's like, no. Lock the fucking doors once you guys get inside. Because now I'm going to fucking take care of business.
Nice.
He starts fucking... Oh, and this is even more sad, dude. So he finds Ravage. Ravage is the tape cassette that turns into the Panther. And that's Megatron's right-hand man. Belongs to Soundwave. But he sees him ripped in half. Megatron picks him up. And this is what does it. He's like, he picks up his Panther friend. He's like, I'm so sorry. This is all my fault. And that's when he gives it to Rodimus. Like, Rodimus, get everyone out of here. Now I'm going to take care of business. They take off. Megatron starts raping ass. An army against Megatron. And there's a lot of fucking great lines in this one, dude. It's so great. So now the Decepticons, the Decepticon Justice League Division... are like, oh shit, he finally came out. Everyone, the Autobots are retreating. Put all your attack on Megatron now. So they start fucking him up. So to let the Autobots get away. And at the end of this issue is the two Decepticon leaders. It looks like they have him dead to rights and they're about to blast him, killing Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number two for me.
Shit.
Number one, Transformers More Than Meets the Eye number 55. Megatron is dead to rights and about to die, uses the force field of some sort. It's weird, dude, where he looks helpless to fight back in his last moments. And then it goes from pages of Ravage now speaking about Megatron and his faith for any type of play that Megatron might have. This one is really dope. And Ravage, again, the Tipicore, ripped in half, he's telling everyone, the Autobots, he's not dangerous because he's stronger than everyone else. Megatron's dangerous because he's smarter than everyone else. And it's really cool because now it goes back to the battle scene where Megatron put on this fucking bubble. And it looks like he's just fucking distraught in this bubble. And they're all like, all the Decepticons are like walking in one by one. And they're walking in. So now it's like a whole crew of fucking Decepticons in this bubble with Megatron. And they're like, you're not even worth our fucking time. Megatron tells him, I didn't build this bubble to keep me in, away from you guys. I built this to keep you guys in here, so you have nowhere to run now.
Oh, shit.
And Megatron just fucking starts ripping every Decepticon. Kills them all. Kills them all. And the last one is, he's like, and they have a great talk, and Megatron says, fucking perfect, dude. He says, I need to keep you guys, I'll use it to see you in. So now, using this antimatter thing, he says, I'd finally won. After 5 million years of fighting myself, I'd won. I was prepared to accept my fate. I was at peace. I was happy. And then you came and had to ruin everything. And it's pretty cool, because that's when he starts killing fucking everyone, dude. And it finally gets to this part where the other Decepticon says, I'll die a Decepticon. And Megatron rips his fucking Decepticon plate off his chest and puts it on Megatron's own chest back. He's like, so will I.
Oh.
Dope. So Megatron's ready to fucking die, dude. It was beautiful. And beautiful, great moments, because now Rodimus and this whole crew with Megatron now is, he's a pacifist. He doesn't want to fight. And he got pushed towards the line where it's like, there's no coming back from this
bed. Right.
And Rodimus finds a way to get back into this bubble where it's like, Megatron, let's get the fuck out, dude. We only have a few seconds. I need you to, we can pull you out. Megatron, and the panel, the page is beautiful because Megatron looks at him like, you can see the expression on Megatron's face like, no, I have to finish this job. Like, I'm gonna die. I would rather die. And Rodimus looks at him like, I know what you have to do, dude, but don't end it like this.
Nice.
Next panel is fucking Rodimus barely pulls him out. And this is probably the book of the year for me. Last, like, the one I just mentioned wasn't bad enough. Finally, Megatron is back into home base. And it's beautiful because he still has his fucking Decepticon insignia now. Yeah, really sad, dude. Megatron, quick, it's Ravage. He was holding on, but now you're back. And Ravage, again, is the Panther dying. He was telling everyone a story about Megatron. Like, dude, he's not as beautiful right here where it happens, dude. Ravage, it's me. Ravage is on his deathbed, reaches his paw out, and gently scratches Megatron's new Decepticon plate and tells him straight up, don't change back.
Nice.
Sad.
Wow.
Fucking sad, dude. And if it wasn't bad, you know, after Megatron just lowers his head like, fuck, this is all my fucking fault. And then it goes to a page, jumps into Soundwave, where he is the cassette player. And whichever world he's on at the time, his head just hits down to like, holy shit, I lost my friend. Like, he feels his friend dying. Fucking sad.
Yeah.
Book of the year, because that they can make Transformers, robots, so humanizing that makes me fucking feel like shit. I totally feel their fucking pain.
Mm-hmm.
Is book of the year for me, man.
Very nice, dude.
So that one was great, dude. It hurt me, dude, but it was good, dude. So that was, again, these past ones are the Dying of the Light arc.
Mm-hmm.
These Dying of the Light arc for Transformers is beautiful. It's gorgeous, dude. So yeah, definitely check it out, guys. Book of the year for me, dude.
Very nice, dude. Very cool.
That's it, right?
I think so, man.
All right, man. All right, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Mem the Beaner on Twitter and Instagram.
You guys can find me on Instagram at comic_syndicate.
It's been a good year.
It's been a great year. Do we have any? No.
I think that's it, man. I mean,
I was gonna say like a New Year resolutions.
We'll save that for the next show.
I don't have anything, dude. I'm happy doing what I'm doing, dude. Love it, dude. Granted, I work too much, but that's always gonna happen for me, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Make more time for friends. That's about it, dude.
Make more memorable.
Yeah.
Memories and shit.
All right, cool. All right, let us know what you guys think about this, dude. We're going to put up a list for you guys once it's up. We'll catch you guys next week. Find us on thecomicsyndicate.com, thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher. Guys, share the podcast. We're going to get you guys more involved next year. We'll catch you next year.
2017.
Peace out.
Peace out.